For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kind of feels like the glory days of ACC basketball, doesn't it? Four teams in the Sweet 16 on the men's side, three on the women's side, including two where Pride of NC State, Debbie Antonelli, who played for KU, is going to join us. She is in Portland. The Wolfpack will take on Stanford. Duke will play UConn. I remember going to a 1-2 Duke-UConn game at Cameron Indoor Stadium a long, long time ago. Debbie Antonelli, how are you?
What's up, Adam? Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's great to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. First of all, I want to start with the women. I know that there are people out there who just can't get by with simply recognizing how much popularity the women's game has. They must compare television ratings, but the TV ratings for the women's tournament have been amazing. Almost 5 million people watched the Iowa West Virginia second round game. 5 million almost watched that, which is more than watched like Zion, you know, when a regular season Duke Carolina game when Zion Williamson was playing. That's what Caitlin Clark has done. Just your thoughts on the women's game as it sits right now.
Well, I have chills and a smile because for as long as I've been in it, I've been preaching how good the product is. The product is the narrative. It has always been the narrative around the women's game. Now people are starting to pay attention, and I have coined the phrase in November, Clarkonomics, because that's exactly what we're experiencing. It is a derivative directly from everything that Caitlin has done around the game this year, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And it has been amazing to watch the number of people that have caught on or have decided that, yeah, it's worthy of their time. It's more than worthy of their time. It's entertaining. The product has always been good, and I couldn't be more proud. As many people like me or during my time that have helped push and have efforted to make the game as visible as possible, to see what's happening now.
So, and it's not just her. I'll get to some other players in a second. She is getting pushback on being like, I'm playing with emotion and people are reading her lips and she's cursing. And I'm like, are you people all this fragile that you wouldn't be the same? You wouldn't react the same way if you saw a guy doing it. Why can't we accept women as fierce, competitive, sometimes angry and petty athletes like we can the guys?
Athletes is the key word here. That is it. Once they step between the lines, that is exactly it. Do you really think, or anybody listening think, that the men and the women prepare, train, or do anything differently? They don't. They spend the same amount of time in the weight room, on the track, mm-hmm. and all the things that come with improving their skill set. The resources around the game are equal to what the men have on the college side. And because players now have name, image, and likeness opportunities, they can move around in the portal the way they want and build super teams, if you will. I mean, we all remember taking our talents to South Beach, right? I mean, that's exactly what we're seeing in the women's game. And it's happening on the men's side, too. But more people are paying attention. The ratings reflect that. The investment in the game is so important right now. And I've looked at the first 50 years of Title IX as opportunity. And the next 50 is about investment, and it's a mindset shift.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. You have a 401k, but you're changing jobs. You're taking that 401k with you. Next step.
Well, a lot of people leave it behind, which is not a good thing. I mean, if you're not at the company anymore, your 401k shouldn't either. And that's when it's time for my 401k survival
box set.
You see it right here. I've got workbooks, guidebooks, DVDs in here that explain everything about your 401k. More importantly, how to build a lifetime income. It's a $300 value. I'm also going to give you a total retirement plan, which is a $1,000 value for the next 18 of you who call right now. No cost or obligation.
Call 888-843-0013 or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
that it's going to take some time because we know the NCAA does not move very quickly.
No.
But from an economic standpoint and forecasting forward, we need to get there quickly because our game is changing dramatically right in front of our eyes every day. And it's exciting to watch. And I believe the leadership around our game is going to get on board soon.
All right. So the in the men's tournament, they play at 8 different sub-regionals, and they advance to 4 separate regional sites before getting to the Final Four. There's some that think that the women's game is at a point where they don't need home sites for the opening rounds, for the, you know, where there's 16 different home sites and we're just at 2 regional sites. You're going to be busy, by the way, in Portland. There's a lot of basketball, to deal with. Where are you on progressing to where it mirrors the way the men's tournament is structured?
You know, I'm good right now with first and second round games on home sites, just like many professional franchises, teams that earn their way to host. We see it through the playoffs in the NFL. We see it in the NBA.
Yep.
So I don't mind it because we've had incredible attendance growth the last couple of years on the first and second round sites. So I like it. I'm good with it. But when it comes to the regionals, this is not a new idea. It's a think tank idea I've had for 15 years. I've always wanted one site, very similar to what baseball does in Omaha and softball does in Oklahoma City. Those two places, Omaha and Oklahoma City, didn't start out becoming destination cities, but that's what they are for those respective sports. And I think in women's basketball, 2 regionals creates the same problems for the fans that 4 regionals created. You don't know where you're going. You can't buy anything in advance. At Christmas morning, you wake up. You would love to have airline, hotel, and game tickets to go somewhere that's a destination city to celebrate our game with 16 teams. That's what I've advocated for 15 years. It took the NCAA a long time to move to 2, but I do think there are some inherent issues for the fan with 2 regionals and not 1 spot.
Debbie Antonelli, who's out in Portland, the women's regionals. There's Regional 3 and Regional 4, they're calling them. They probably should name them after legendary players. That would be nice. That's what hockey used to do with divisions, and then we don't even do that anymore. Gino Auriemma, after UConn advanced to the Sweet 16, and they will play Duke coming up in a couple of days, he said that Paige Bueckers, his star, was the best player in college basketball. Is he just, you know, caping up for his best player, or can you make that argument? She's an amazing player.
Well, she's certainly one of the top players. I don't think this year she's been the best player. Caitlin Clark has been the best player all season long. I think you'd have a hard argument trying to say anything else, but of course he would say that, and you'd expect him to say that. I'm sure Vandeveer thinks Cameron Brink is the best player in the country, so... that's what coaches do. And now that he's getting back to the national stage, you know, last year, this is 30 consecutive Sweet 16s for UConn. Think about that. I mean, just let that marinate for a second. Like,
amazing.
This is a very strategic conversation by him. Paige is going to be a first team All-American. She won and swept all the National Player of the Year awards when she and Caitlin Clark were freshmen.
Right.
And I think Caitlin is the best player right now, and that's okay. That doesn't diminish anything that Paige does or doesn't shine a lesser light on her skill set. I'm looking forward to seeing her in person because she's somebody that you buy a ticket to go see. We're talking about ticket-selling players right now, and that's exactly what we want the game to reflect.
I mean, the scenes, I would expect the scenes in Iowa City to be that for Caitlin Clark, but the TV numbers when she's on screen have been amazing, and I've enjoyed the way that she and Angel Reese from LSU, who people created this rivalry between the two, and maybe there's a competitive rivalry, but they created some animosity between the two. I appreciate the public way they have kind of defended one another. So do you like the Wolf? We haven't even talked about the Wolfpack or the Blue Devils, who are both out where you are. What chances do you give both of marching on?
Well, I'm for NC State, I'm on the Westwood 1 side of the bracket, and the other side of the bracket for me will be ESPN with Duke. So for NC State, it's a pretty simple game plan for both coaches. I don't think there's very much complexity to this one at all. Stanford has 2 great post players on the inside. NC State's going to have to figure out how to deal with them, to rebound with them. hopefully get them in foul trouble to be able to navigate scoring in the paint. On the other side, Stanford's not hasn't seen guards like NC State has. Shania right. Rivers and Isaiah James and Madison Hayes, the three of them together, and then when Zoe Brooks comes off the bench, there's a lot of athleticism and length there. It's a very connected group. So it's a pretty simple game plan. Can NC State stop the post play of Stanford, and can Stanford stop the guard play in the backcourt of NC State?
What about Duke and UConn? Can Duke handle that?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think Duke is one of the better defensive teams, and I'm certainly 100% sure that Coach Lawson will have a game plan defensively in place. The problem for them is going to be scoring with UConn. Mm-hmm. You got to slow them down a little bit and take something away. But you know, one of the tendencies for Duke is to hard hedge every ball screen action, and UConn plays a lot of five out, a lot of motion, a lot of back cutting. So their system and their Princeton offense is set up perfectly for the overplaying, aggressive Duke defense. Now, is Duke going to be able to back off a little bit? Can they score in transition? Can they rebound and get up the floor? And then how do you limit Paige Beckers because you're not going to stop her? So does Duke have a path? Yes, they would. But I think UConn, with their experience and their veteran players, even though they don't have a lot of depth, you don't need a lot of depth when you get here. The timeouts are long enough.
Debbie Antonelli, before I let you go, let's talk a little bit about the men's side. And I listened to you during the first round of the tournament. The Wolfpack are more than just a Cinderella. They look like the team I think most of us thought they might turn into over the course of the season. DJ Burns playing at a high level. DJ Horn didn't even have to play great against Oakland. He went 40 minutes without scoring, but they got contributions from so many different places. What do you like right now about what NC State's doing?
Well, I love the momentum that they've been playing with, for sure. I mean, and the belief that they have. They never gave up believing. I had them several times this year. They lost a lot of close games. They didn't execute late. I think DJ's conditioning since February has definitely, DJ Burns, yeah, had an impact on his sustainability in the game. I mean, he is unreal, right? You can't guard him. You can't guard him one-on-one. You bring a double, he's going to make the right read. His IQ is understated. It'll be a problem. And I don't expect DJ Horn not to score in a Sweet 16 game. So Michael O'Connell has played well, not turning the ball over. He's been a little bit more aggressive, looking to score. That is a big difference in the postseason for him. He's always taking care of the ball. I think that's important. And then Ben Middlebrooks, you know, you're getting contributions from Mohammed. Yeah. I mean, it's Diarra. It is exciting to watch. And as an NC State fan who's listening right now, you got to be excited about what you're seeing on the floor right now from both your teams, but especially the job that Kevin Keats has done. I am so excited for him personally,
yeah,
because he never stopped believing that they could win.
Yeah, you know, even at the end of the season, he definitely had carried that air of optimism and confidence. What chance do you give Duke against Houston?
Yeah, Houston is a little beat up, and I actually picked Houston at the beginning of the season after I covered them three straight days in Charleston. I was like, wow, that defense is really tough because nobody traps middle ball screens and stuff in the middle of the floor and can recover the way they can. It's going to be a tough competitive matchup. The backcourt of Houston is really, really good. L.J. Cryer and Jamal Shedd are fantastic and play well together. Kelvin taking on a North Carolina school, that's got to be a little personal for him too, because sure, he's from the state of North Carolina. But I think Filipowski will be the difference. He can play in space. He can short roll. They can shallow cut against all that ball screen because, Houston's going to bring two to the ball. And so I think Duke has a chance. I definitely think so. They can move the ball, stay spaced, and make Houston chase.
Yeah.
They've got enough offense to do so.
And if Jared McCain hits 8 threes again,
that helps.
My gosh. Absolutely amazing. Debbie Antonelli, I appreciate your time. At Debbie Antonelli, she makes it easy on Twitter. And have fun. I know you're going to be busy. There's a lot of basketball in Portland, but I know you love it. So I do appreciate you carving out a few minutes.
I do love it, Adam. Thank you for having me on your show. Have me back when these teams advance.
You got it. All right.
All right, man.
I love
Take
that. You too. I love that optimism. All right. So we'll book Debbie Antonelli for next week. When we got a lot more teams still playing ball.
I like it.
I am very excited.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.